Welcome to episode 2 of our ongoing series, Fat Loss, Metabolism, and Nootropics. In today's episode, we're shifting our focus from metabolic pathways to the fascinating world of nootropic peptides, specifically Semex and Seleng. These two compounds are gaining serious momentum in brain research for their potential roles in cognitive performance, stress response, memory, and neuroplasticity. We'll break down what current studies are uncovering, why these peptides are becoming central to modern nootropic research, and how they could shape the future of neurological science. We'll also highlight how reputable sources like BC9 are supporting ongoing laboratory studies with high-purity, research-grade compounds that meet strict scientific standards. So if you're ready for a deep dive into the evolving science of cognition, mood regulation, and next-generation brain research, the journey continues right here. Let's get started.
Okay, let's unpack this. The landscape of brain research is evolving rapidly, moving beyond these sort of generalized compounds toward highly targeted molecules.
Exactly. It's really about signaling molecules now. And the sources, they point directly toward peptides like Cmax and Seleng as, you know, the next major focus.
Why peptides specifically? What makes them stand out?
Well, they represent a new generation of specificity. That specificity is really the core reason for the shift we're seeing.
Okay.
When neuroscientists are looking for clean, targeted ways to modulate complex functions, these broader spectrum compounds, they just create too much noise in the data.
Right, too many variables.
Precisely. Peptides, though, because of their molecular structure, they offer researchers something almost like a surgical tool. It's very precise.
Interesting.
And that's why they're drawing attention in laboratories worldwide for their potential roles in three really critical interconnected areas. Neuroplasticity, stress modulation, and memory support.
Neuroplasticity, that term gets used a lot. Maybe we can define it simply for you, our listener. It's not just about, say, learning a new language.
No, it's much more fundamental. It's the brain's actual ability to rewire and adapt its physical structure.
So it's about the physical architecture adjusting to demands.
Exactly. Think of neuroplasticity as like ongoing highway construction in the brain.
Okay.
It's the capability to build new roads, new neural pathways, and strengthen the ones that already exist. And this is critical for everything from recovery after injury to, you know, accelerated learning in lab models.
So if scientists are exploring how to influence this fundamental system, the materials they use, they have to be flawless, right?
Absolutely. Which means we can't really talk about this kind of advanced molecular research without hitting on the fundamental requirement.
Quality.
The purity of the compound.
Yes. If the goal is to map the brain's adaptability, then the precision of the research compound, it has to match the complexity of the target system.
Makes sense.
It's absolutely vital. We're dealing with incredibly small, complex chains of amino acids here. So precision matters profoundly.
And if it's not precise?
Well, even a minor contaminant or some inconsistency in the peptide batch, it could entirely invalidate weeks, maybe months, of laboratory data.
Yeah, it leads to irreproducible results, which is a huge problem in science.
Yeah.
That's why researchers really rely on vendors who can prove their compounds are high purity, rigorously verified.
Like BC9, which the sources mentioned.
Exactly. The scientific community needs materials that meet strict research-grade standards. This ensures any observed effect in the lab is truly attributable to the peptide being studied and not some impurity.
Okay, let's dial into Cmax first. It's often characterized as a cognitive powerhouse in the research literature. It's an analog, right, of a fragment of ACTH, a natural hormone.
That's correct.
So what specific pathways are researchers targeting with Cmax, and what's the thinking behind that action?
Cmax's primary research focus revolves around influencing the regulation of brain-derived neurotrophic factor, BDNF.
BDNF, okay.
And this is different from, say, traditional stimulants that might just flood the system with neurotransmitters for a temporary effect.
How so?
Cmax is being studied for its potential to encourage the brain, essentially to invest in its own infrastructure.
Okay, so if stimulants are like pouring gasoline in the tank for a quick speed boost, what's BDNF in this analogy?
BDNF is more like the fertilizer and the actual blueprints for your neural network.
Ah, okay. Building materials.
Exactly. It's a crucial protein associated directly with neuron survival, with synaptic plasticity, which is basically the efficiency of communication between neurons and the fundamental process of memory encoding and long-term potentiation.
So the implication is pretty significant then.
It's huge. Researchers aren't just looking for temporary alertness in their models. They are studying compounds that may potentially influence the foundational adaptability of the brain itself.
That's really interesting. If CMAC's research is centered on boosting that infrastructure development. What specific functional areas are being explored in laboratory models?
Well, the list is quite extensive because BDNF touches so many systems in the brain.
Right.
But current research efforts seem to focus intensely on four main areas. First, enhancing learning and memory encoding pathways. Second, investigating neuroprotection, particularly looking at models following induced stress or injury. Third, improving aspects like mental clarity and sustaining focus in cognitive tasks. And finally, just understanding the nuances of BDNF-related signaling itself, how it all works at a molecular level.
It sounds like the key investigative goal here is really about resilience, how CMAX might help the brain not just perform, but adapt and recover under demanding conditions in these lab settings.
That's a perfect summary. Researchers are keenly observing how CMAX may influence the brain's ability to maintain cognitive function when faced with, say, high cognitive load or environmental stressors in an experimental setup.
Right.
That potential to support neural adaptability makes it a leading candidate for future cognitive research models, especially those aimed at understanding long-term neural health.
Okay, now let's shift gears. Let's pivot to the other compound mentioned prominently, SANC. If CMAX is about boosting infrastructure and capacity, SANC seems to be framed more around stability, right? Particularly under stress.
That's a perfect distinction, yes. SANC is being investigated primarily for its potential role in emotion regulation and stress modulation.
And its structure. It's also synthetic.
It is. It's a synthetic analog of a naturally occurring peptide called tufsin. Tufsin itself is involved in immune regulation.
Ah, interesting connection.
Yeah. By structurally modifying it, researchers believe they might have created a peptide that could influence mood and neurological balance in experimental models.
So the idea being studied is that it's designed to subtly modulate a system that's maybe gone a bit haywire due to stress, rather than just, you know, suppressing symptoms.
That is the hypothesis being studied, yes.
Yeah.
The molecular mechanism they're looking into appears to involve influencing neurotransmitter activity.
Which ones?
Particularly related to GABA systems, GABAergic pathways.
Ah, the main calming neurotransmitter.
Exactly. The primary inhibitory or calming neurotransmitters in the central nervous system. So it's a very different approach being investigated compared to simple focus enhancement.
So what are the primary targets in SANC studies then? Are researchers trying to find a way to just dampen stress signals entirely? Or is it more about achieving a kind of functional neurological equilibrium?
The research definitely seems aimed at equilibrium. Key areas include examining stress response signaling pathways, looking at anxiety-related pathways in models.
Okay.
But critically, they are also studying cognitive performance, specifically under acute pressure.
Ah, that's the key part.
Yes. They want to see if the potential calming influence supports better decision-making and clarity when the system is under duress in the lab setting, as well as looking at general neuromodulation and mood balance effects.
That focus on performance under pressure is really the crucial insight here, isn't it? It suggests that peak cognition isn't just about how fast you think,
right,
but how well you maintain clarity when facing complexity or stress.
Absolutely. The thinking is, if a compound can help maintain emotional stability in a model, it indirectly preserves cognitive resources that would otherwise be diverted to managing internal stress signals.
Makes sense.
This makes SANC a fascinating subject for any research that deals with environmental stress models, mood pathways, or studying how to maintain high-level cognitive function in taxing conditions.
So if we connect this dual approach back to the bigger picture, why are CMAX and SANC as peptides gaining so much more research attention now compared to maybe other classes of nootropic compounds? Is there a unifying theory?
I think it comes down to what the sources identify as three key advantages that are inherent in their design and function.
Okay, what's the first one?
The first is their peptide-based design itself. Because they are chains of amino acids, they allow for really targeted, highly specific interaction with biological systems.
Like keys for specific locks.
Exactly. They function like keys designed for specific molecular locks. And this provides much cleaner experimental data than, say, broad-acting molecules that might hit multiple targets.
Cleaner action means researchers can pinpoint exactly which pathway is being influenced. That must speed up discovery.
It definitely helps clarify mechanisms. Okay, the second advantage, it's their focus on cognition and emotional resilience together.
Not just one or the other.
Right. Modern neuroscience really recognizes that focus and anxiety, performance and stability, they're intrinsically linked. You can't fully optimize the brain for performance in a model without also addressing its capacity for stability.
Mm-hmm.
These peptides allow researchers to investigate mental performance and mood balance in tandem, studying the brain as a complete interconnected system, rather than just looking at focus or mood in isolation.
So it moves research past the idea of just being smart towards the idea of being robustly functional, systemically sound.
Precisely. And the third advantage.
What is it?
It ties back to our earlier point, their potential influence on neuroplasticity.
Right, the brain's adaptability.
As we established, neuroplasticity is really the definition of a healthy, adaptable brain in biological terms. So any compound that may influence neural recovery or growth or structural adaptability like CMAX is suggested to do via BDNF modulation in studies becomes profoundly valuable.
Especially for studies focused on long-term brain health models or recovery processes.
Exactly.
Understanding this dual approach performance potentially via CMAX, stability potentially via CELANC, it really helps frame how researchers are now viewing complex brain function. It seems the key to high-level function is systemic resilience.
Well said.
But let's just step back for a moment and revisit the foundation of all this complex work. If the research is so dependent on this targeted molecular action, the purity of the molecules themselves, that's the bedrock, isn't it?
It truly is. That's a crucial point that you just can't overemphasize when you're dealing with peptides in research.
Why peptides in particular?
Because the quality of the starting material directly determines the quality and ultimately the trustworthiness of the research data. When you're looking for subtle modulations in neurotransmitter activity or growth factor levels,
tiny changes.
Exactly, tiny changes. You simply cannot afford contaminants that might interfere with those delicate signals or give you a false positive or negative.
Which brings us back to the logistics of actually doing the research. What specific standards must a provider of these compounds meet to support this kind of repeatable, high-level neuroscientific investigation? This is where BC9 comes up again in the sources.
Right. Reputable providers like BC9 are essential because they ensure verifiable integrity of the materials.
And how do they do that? What should researchers look for?
Well, they achieve this by prioritizing a few key standards. First, offering high-purity compounds, typically verified through third-party analysis like HPLC or mass spec.
Transparency?
Yes. Ensuring batch transparency is huge so researchers can trace every step and know the consistency of what they're using. Adhering to extremely strict sourcing standards is also vital.
Okay.
And finally, maintaining research-focused product handling protocols, things like proper storage and shipping, to maintain stability. This lab-verified integrity is what allows scientists to trust their findings and, importantly, attempt to replicate them across different labs globally.
Looking ahead then, where are these peptides and this whole molecular approach to brain function most likely to fit into future research trends?
Oh, they sit right at the forefront of several major movements in neuroscience research, I think.
Such as?
We anticipate their continued relevance in advanced brain optimization studies, the kind that go beyond just basic nutrition or simple stimulants.
Mm-hmm.
They are definitely key candidates in age-related cognitive decline research models, also in focused investigations into mood and stress pathways, trying to understand the underlying mechanisms better.
And neuroprotection.
And certainly in neuroprotective exploration. They're unique profiles. This ability being studied to target specific growth factors like BDNF or emotional regulators potentially linked to GABA make them essential tools. Tools that will likely continue to shape how modern labs approach the study of the brain's complete operational system.
So what does this all mean for you, the listener, trying to understand where brain science is heading? CMAX and CELANC, they really represent a new frontier in nootropic-focused research.
They do.
They're opening up scientific conversations about how the brain adapts, how it learns, and how it thrives under various conditions. Everything from boosting the neural infrastructure, potentially via BDNF signaling, to ensuring emotional balance under stress.
And the core message, I think, is that the future of brain research demands both precision and innovation. Peptides like these, when supported by verifiable, high-purity sourcing like that from BC9,
right,
they are driving a deeper molecular understanding, an understanding of the brain as a complete system where performance and resilience are just inextricably linked.
You know, the most compelling insight here for me isn't just that a single compound may influence a specific function. It's that researchers are now prioritizing substances that address the brain's interconnected ability, its ability to balance high-level performance with deep emotional resilience. It recognizes the brain as a system designed to survive and adapt.
That's a great point.
So, the final thought to leave you with is this. If we treat the brain as this unified, resilient system, what new types of structural and behavioral research will this precision molecular approach unlock next? What new levels of understanding about adaptation are we on the verge of discovering?